Great to be with you today. For those who don't know me, my name is PJ Booth, and I'm one of the pastors here in Open Arms Church. We're continuing on our series called Good News for the Book of Colossians, and today's message title is called God's Will. So the Book of Colossians, whose author is the Apostle Paul, the recipients of this epistle or letter, is a young church in Colossae. It's a town on the banks of the river Lycus in Southeast Asia, and we call that Turkey. Paul wrote this book when he was in prison, sometime between 50 and 60 AD. It is thought that Paul wrote about four letters when he was there: Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon, and Philippians. And it's also thought that Epaphras was one of those early converts. He went back to Asia Minor and planted a church. So he's the local pastor. He's actually the church planter that Paul here is addressing. Colossians declares Christ as supreme and central. He's the reason for and the ruler of all creation. He's the pre-existent and preeminent one. He's the image, the fullness and mystery of God, who is crucified, buried, and resurrected. He's the head of the church, now enthroned on high as God's agent of redemption and reconciliation. He's the object of the church's worship, behavior, and hope. And right through the book of Colossians, we see Christ right through the message. You know, throughout the centuries, God's people have been encouraged and inspired by this little book called Colossians. It's a mere four chapters. And today I was attempting to get through six verses, but bear with me because I'm only going to get through one. My bad. And people have lived through wars, plagues, pestilence, natural disasters. But today is our turn. It really is. Today is our turn. We're living through a historical time. And oftentimes we forget, because no, this is going to be over tomorrow. It's going to be over next month. It's going to be over in June. No, it could be over in September. But this is going on a lot longer than any of us had thought. Yes. And we're going through a time in history. And you know, for the remainder of your lives, people are going to ask you, where were you during the global pandemic that began in 2020? And it'll be written in our history books. Yeah. But right through this, we're going to see Christ and his will for our lives through the pandemic, through our lives, good, bad, and indifferent, all the way through. We're beginning to realize that the pandemic won't be over this week. We could have lockdowns in Calais, in Dublin, right throughout the nation. We just don't know. So we need God's word. We need his hope. We need to know, what is your will, Lord, during this time? So let's get stuck in to the word of God and see what it has to say. I'm reading from the Passion Translation, Colossians 1, 9 to 14. Since we first heard about you, we've kept you always in our prayers, that you would receive the perfect knowledge of God's pleasure over your lives, making you reservoirs of every kind of wisdom and spiritual understanding. We pray that you would walk in the ways of true righteousness, pleasing God in every good thing you do. Then you become fruit-bearing branches, yielding to his life, and maturing in the rich experience of knowing God in his fullness. And we pray that you would be energized with all the explosive power from the realm of this magnificent glory, filling you with great hope. Your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness that was translated or moved us into the kingdom of the realm of his beloved Son. For in the Son, all our sins are cancelled, and we have the release of redemption through his very blood. Wow, great scripture. What a great scripture. But today, we're going to look at the sections, Colossians 1, 9. Just the first section first. It says, since we first heard about you, we've kept you always in our prayers. First thing here is prayer. We've kept you always in our prayers. The King James says, we do not cease to pray for you. Guys, we've got to get back to prayer. Amen. I mean, we got to get back to prayer. We must pray for one another. Philippians 4, 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And you say, okay, we'll do that, but what's the result? See, we all look for results. So there is a result. This is the result. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we know that the battle is where? The battle is in our mind. So as we begin to pray, we overcome those thoughts. We overcome all that stuff that comes barging in. If you listen to RTE and Professor 1, Professor 2, Professor 3, Professor 4, you begin up the wall with them. But when we get the Word of God, and then as we begin to pray, as we begin to talk to our Father, as we begin to ask Him for our needs, suddenly the peace of God begins to change our thinking and begins to change our mind. 1 Timothy 2, 1-2 says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all the people, for kings and for those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So let's make a list. What could be a very simple list to begin with? Number one is pray for ourselves. Pray that the peace of God will exceed all earthly understanding and will guard our emotions. They will begin to guard and change our thinking patterns, our downward spiraling into hopelessness, despair, and depression. That's a great thing to begin to pray for. Secondly, pray for each other. Yes. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for the people in open arms today. Pray for those alongside you. Pray for those who are not here today. Pray for those who are fearful or concerned or are not well. Begin to pray for your brothers and sisters. Yes. Three, pray for the church. Pray for open arms. Pray for open arms here in Newbridge. Pray for open arms in Dublin South. Continue to pray that we will get and secure a building where we can begin to meet on our own terms. We need to pray for that. Pray that the church, right through this period of time, will not go into decline because we have not, but will actually soar and begin to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray that we will be the light of the world, right? Not in darkness, on the top of a hill, shining the light of the gospel of Christ. And then pray for the church in Ireland. See, we're part of a local church, we're part of a national church, and then we're part of what? The global church. So pray for the church, the body of Christ, right across the world during these challenging times. And fourthly, pray for our government and all those in authority. Now, we really need to pray. Whether you voted this government in or not, that's not what it's about. But it says pray for those who are in authority. You know, when this pandemic began, everyone was so united. The government made great decisions. Everyone said, yes, come on, we're going to get this. But 6 months later, we're tired. Yeah. we're weary. Yeah. And people are beginning to bicker and people are beginning to disobey in a sense. And not just the law, but the spirit of the law. Yeah. So I think we should pray for our government, for the decisions, for the life-changing decisions. And that we, first of all, as a church, let us get behind the government. Yeah. Let us begin to speak positive, and that the entire nation, both north, south, east and west, will support our government in the way forward. So then we move on to see what else Paul prayed for in the church. Colossians 1:9 again. It's great to read this scripture. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. What on earth is God's will? So what is God's will? People keep asking the question, what is God's will? What does God want me to do? I've come across so many people over the years, and it can get so complicated. Does he want me to go here? Does he want me to go there? Does he want to stop? Will I wear the blue socks, the black socks, the white shoes, the black shoes? You know, what happens when I go to college? What happens when I stop in college? What happens when I get married? What happens when I get... Confusion oftentimes. Yeah. But also, it can cause a level of anxiety. Yeah. It really can, a level of angst that you don't quite know. So what I want us to do today is discover, what is God's will? What is his will? John 14:15 says this, if you love me, Jesus said, keep my commands. Yeah. Okay, so it obviously has something to do with his commands here. John 14:21 goes on, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. John 15:10. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now, just taking those scriptures or anything else, it scares me a little bit, because I can't keep all his commands. I'm in trouble. I don't know about you, but I'm in trouble when I think of this. And, you know, in the Jewish tradition, there was 613 commandments. Yeah. Not just 10. And I'm going to read a few of them for you. I'm not going to read 630. Just to grasp. Here it is. It says, first of all, to know that God exists. Not to entertain the idea that there's any other God. Not to blaspheme. To hallow God's name. Not to profane God's name. To know God is the only one true God. To love God, to fear him reverently, not to put the word of God to the test, to imitate his good and upright ways, to honor the old and the wise, to learn Torah and to teach it. We're in trouble there. To cleave to those who know him, not to add the commandments of the Torah, whether in written law or interpretation, not to take away the commandments of the Torah, that the people shall write a scroll of the Torah, that's me gone again, to circumcise the male offspring, sounds sore, right? to put a tizzet on the corners of clothing, to bind teflon on your head, to bind teflon on your arm, to affix the muzzah at the doors of the gates, to pray to God, to read the Shema, to recite grace after meals, not to lay down a stone of worship, to love all human beings who are of the covenant, not to stand idly by when a person is in danger, not to wrong anyone in speech, not to carry tales, not to cherish hatred in your heart, not to take revenge, not to bear a grudge, not to put any Jew to shame, not to curse any other Israelites, not to give occasion with the simple-minded, not to rebuke a sinner, to relieve a neighbor, to assist in replacing a load upon animals, and then the remainder of the 613 commandments. And all I can say is, I am in trouble. I am in trouble, if that's what it is. But has God a plan? Has he something else afoot? Is he about something else? Matthew 22:34 says this, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law. So this guy probably knew the 613 commandments back to front. He could recite them, and here he is getting ready, right? Tested him with this question, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Yeah. Galatians 5:14 says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. James 2:18. If you really keep the royal law, so there is a royal law. People say we're not under law, but there is the royal law found in Scripture. Love your neighbor as yourself. You're doing right. But again, when I look at this, when I study what love is, I'm fearful that I don't have this love. Mm-hmm. I can't love God all the time, with all my mind, with all my strength, with all my heart. I can't even love me like that. And certainly, if I can't love me, I can't love you. It's very difficult. Yeah. So, you know, we're selfish, aren't we? You know, we were at a wedding the other day, and we're taking four selfies. When you look at a photograph, I'm sure you look at the other person, don't you? No, you look at your mug first. We look at ourselves because we're self-centered. That's how we are. That's how we do. So how can I fulfill these commands? 1 John 4:7, great scripture, learn it. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. This is God's love. Love comes from God. Everyone who has been born of God knows God and has this love. So when we come along and you invite Christ into your life, a miracle occurs. 1 John 4:19 says, we love each other because he loved us first. He loved us first. So he's taken this selfish, self-centered man. He's given me a new heart, a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. And he's made this royal exchange. That's what he's done. And again, 1 John, we can love others because he first loved us. Yeah. There's a movement, the movement of love, the royal exchange. Yeah. That's what it does. So it's not PJ's love, it's not your love, it's God's love in us. Yeah. So it's in us. So the moment you accept Christ into your heart, it begins to work. Now we've got to work it out. Yeah. It's a journey. Yeah. We none of us will get it perfect, not all the time, but it's an aim and it's a goal and we keep going for it. But it's his love that's working out through us. Yeah. It's a world-changing thing. It really, really is. Well, you know, when I give this answer to people, they say, oh, yeah, yeah, I know that, but what is God's real will? You know, what does he really want me to do? I mean, come on, and again, confusion. Guys, if we get this, oh, marriages, the nation, relationships, kids, parents, friends, mm-hmm. wars, governments, Dáil Éireann. Look, it is life changing and world changing. Yes. If we can get this, we will walk in God's perfect will. It's so important that we know that. You know, today is my, 27th of September is my birthday. I'm 29. Yeah, I can hear you saying, yeah, 29. He's not even 29 around the waist. But it is my 29th spiritual birthday. So that means today, as I speak before you, right, I committed my life to Christ 29 years ago. And he transformed me and changed me and gave me a new heart and began to pour that love into me in order that I could release that love within myself and then out to others. It's really, really good. And you know, I was looking back and I would say for the last 20 years plus, I've not struggled with God's will. I really haven't. I've rarely, rarely questioned God's will, at least for the last 20 years. Because I've come to some conclusions. I came to the first conclusion that God loves me, that I am his son, that I am cleansed, I'm forgiven, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I came to the conclusion that Scripture says that all the days ordained for me were written in his book. So he's got a plan and a purpose for my life. Mm-hmm. And this is where I live right now. I live at this place when if I can keep his love at the center of my focus, now, not all the time, but if I keep coming back, and that's what happens. We stray, we come back. We stray, we come back, right? It's like that, you know, the line on the monitor? Don't let it go flat because you're in trouble, right? Yeah. So you keep it going. So the thing is, we keep coming back to his love, mm-hmm. keep coming back to his love. And I know that every decision I make, whether I'm sitting with someone in counseling, whether I'm outreaching, whether I'm serving the vision of Open Arms through Sean and Gillian Booth, our new pastors, mm-hmm. I know I'm walking in God's perfect Amen. Will at that moment. Amen. I really did. And another part of this, and I'm realizing that this is for young people, this is for leaders, this is for people in ministry, people who lead in companies. There are times when we got to make hard decisions. That we call hard decisions. There's times over the years that I make decisions that I'm going to stop people from hurting other people. Mm. I'm going to stop a wolf from coming in and chewing up our sheep. Yeah. Or I'm going to stop the sheep from hitting heads. Yeah. And you know, sometimes people don't like me for that. Mm. Sometimes people reject me for that. Mm. But I know at the core of those decisions, the fact that I love God and I love people. Yeah. And above all else, I say that I'm not here for Mr. Popularity. I want to tell you, if you want anything to do with leadership, you're not going to be Mr. Popular. You're not going to be Miss Popular. That doesn't go with it. But if we come along and say, I love God, I really love people, and that's my aim. It's not about being popular, because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about his kingdom. It's about his body. It's about his kids. And we keep loving and we keep serving and we keep making those decisions, because love sometimes is making the hard decisions. And love is cuddly and love is huggy and love is all, I love all of those things, but it's all of that encompassing. So continue to love. What does God want us to be? What does he want us to do? He wants us to love him. And guys, this is a miraculous thing. To love God with all my mind, all my will, all my strength. To love myself. I don't know about you, but that I'm 62 years of age. I'm still on that journey. Yeah. I don't know anyone that has arrived fully. Mm-hmm. We go through stages when great. And then we go through stages when you're just doubting and challenging. Mm-hmm. And then he wants us to love our neighbor. He wants us to love other people. That's what his will is. That's what, in the middle of a pandemic, what's God's will? To love him, to love myself, and to love you. If I can do that, whether I'm losing a job, entering into a job, starting college, finishing college, starting a marriage, starting a family, whatever, if I can do that, I believe we are walking in God's perfect will. And what does this look like? Because you've got to say, what does it look like? What's the picture of it? Again, 1 Corinthians 13 from the Message version. It says this: if I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't have love, I've gotten nowhere. Yeah. So no matter what I say, no matter what I believe, no matter what I preach, right? No matter what I declare and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. Yeah. Bankrupt, yeah. Nothing. Yeah. It's useless, I'm empty. Because it says, love never gives up. Yeah. Have you wanted to give up recently? This is a hard change. The last 6 months for some people have been so challenging. And I want to tell you, the next number of months are going to be just as challenging. But love never gives up. Yeah. Love cares more for others than for self. Yeah. And how do you do that? You say, Lord, help me to love others. Help me to serve others. Help me to put others. Help me to get to a place that someday I'll take a selfie with other people and they won't look at me. Someday that will happen. Not now, but someday it might happen, right? So love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love is not jealous. Love doesn't want to take what you got. Love wants to celebrate what you have. Yeah. Someone gets a new car, well done, it's great. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's what it is. Yeah. Someone prospers, someone gets their exam, someone, whatever it might be. Yeah. We don't try and rob it, we want to celebrate them. Love doesn't strut. We don't strut because it's not about me. Yeah. It's about others. Yeah. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Oh yeah, the church won't go on without me. You're in trouble. or the company won't go on, or the friendship won't go on, or the crowd won't go on, or the marriage won't go on. Yeah. No, yeah. No, it's not about that. Yeah. It's about serving and loving others. Yeah. It doesn't force itself on others. Doesn't even again say, hey, what about me? Doesn't force ourselves. Isn't always me first, Jack. Talk about challenging. As I'm reading this, the challenging that has happened is not all about me. It's about us. It's the royal we. It really is. Doesn't fly off the handle. Something I'm working on. Married for 43 years. Still working on that. I'm working. A work in motion. I always will be a work in motion. But you try. It's called self-control. Yeah, I think it's something to do with the fruit of the Spirit. But we don't lose the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Us as the church. Don't shoot our own wounded, please. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Do you know what? I'm a sinner saved by grace. And by the kindness and mercy of God. Today is my 29th birthday. Please don't remind me of the sins I performed yesterday or 29 years ago or 30 years ago. What happens is we are covered by the grace, we're cleansed by the blood, and we start fresh. Yes. So don't remind, do not allow your mind to go there. We are saved, we're cleansed, we love, and we celebrate. Yes. It doesn't revel when others grovel. You know, sometimes there's people in trouble. My goodness, there's financial trouble, there's emotional trouble, there's relational trouble. Yeah, don't lord it over them. Yeah. Don't revel. Don't take pleasure in that. Yeah. But take pleasure. The next line says, but love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Mm-hmm. The truth will prevail. And we take pleasure in that. When we hear the truth and know the truth and sense, we come on, we celebrate. We celebrate that. Puts up with anything. That's a hard one. Excuse me, how about my rights? Yeah. As a citizen of the nation, I have the rights, you know. I won't wear a mask, or I won't do this, or I won't do that. You know, puts up with anything. Puts up with anything that we see the gospel proclaimed in the nation, that we see people loved, that we see the body built up, and that we see great unity happening. Yeah. Trust God always. Always. Does that mean when I lose my job? Yeah, trust God. Yeah. Does that mean when I'm locked down? Yeah. Keep trusting God. Yeah. Does that mean when I can't get my college position because the government messed up the points? Yeah, keep trusting God. Yeah. Keep trusting God with your family, your friends, your colleagues, your kids, your grandkids. Keep trusting God because God holds us in the very palm we stand. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. Keep trusting God. That's what love does. It really does. Always looks to the best. I see your ones here. See the roots, yeah. See them, remember them, can't sing, can't dance. We know the negative. The negative comes to mind. But what we've got to change that. No, I'm going to looking for something good. Yeah. I'm looking for something positive. Yeah. I'm looking for the gold in them there hills. Yeah. That's what we do. Yeah. So look for the good. Yeah. Never looks back. Now, we remember that our past explains how we got here, but boy, it need not determine the future. You cannot live in yesterday. You can't change yesterday, but we can change today and we can direct our future. But keeps going to the end. You know, Gavin and Claire got married just last week. And one thing I said, Gavin has been here, Gavin Lawler, you see him in worship, he plays the keyboard. He's been part of our church since he's been a young boy and also part of our youth leadership team through the years. And one thing I said at the wedding was, Gavin kept going.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't stop. He saw many friends, many people come, get distracted, take their eyes off Christ, look at this or blame this or the other. Gavin kept going for year after year. Amen. Keep going. Yeah. Keep going. Amen. Do we have reason to stop at times? Yeah, of course we do.
Yeah.
But you know, we keep going and keep pressing on to the end. And then finally it says, love never fails. Love won't fail you. Love is the glue that holds everything together. It really is. Love will hold this love, God's love, the biblical love, will hold everything. It will get you through. It will get your relationship through. You will get your kids and your grandkids through. It will get your friends through. But it will get you through. Love does not fail. Keep on loving. So what's God's will for our lives? To become that person, that we would be known as one who loved Jesus and who carries the love of Jesus.
Amen.
Isn't our prayer that be when we walk away from people, that people would say, he's been with Jesus.
Yeah.
That somehow this love of God, this gospel is not theory. It's not just a figment of our imagination.
Yeah.
It's not just something we learned and we go to church once a week or look online once a week. But it's something that's transforming, that's changing our very lives, that we change me and we change us together.
Yeah.
That people know what is a Christian, not a religious nut, but someone who is a lover of God and a lover of self and a lover of people.
Yeah.
Someone who is life and world changing. That's what this is about.
Yeah.
That's what God wants for us. To become that person. What is God's will during the global pandemic? What's God saying? Be a lover.
Yeah.
Love God, love yourself, and love people.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, will we try and finish the verse? Try and finish verse 9. Again, let me read it for you. Colossians 1:9 again. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continue to ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. That's great. The Passion Version says what? That we become reservoirs of wisdom and spiritual understanding. And you think of a reservoir, it's usually quite big area, isn't it? That can contain a lot of water. Well, that's what he wants us to become, big hearts. With a lot of wisdom and a lot of spiritual understanding. That's what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, this wisdom, you won't learn it through an encyclopedia.
Mm-hmm.
You won't learn it by just getting online. You won't learn it. I love education. I think we should have more education, but education won't do it for you.
Yeah.
That's not enough. This is something that's an impartation from God himself.
Yeah.
And Proverbs 2:6 says it very well. Let me read this and go through this. Proverbs 2:6-11, verse 6. For the Lord grants wisdom. You hear me? The Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Verse 7, he grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. What is common sense? I don't know, but I don't know why they call it common, because it's very rare. But he grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He's a shield to those who walk with integrity. Integrity, same on the inside. On the outside, what you see is what you get. That's what integrity is.
Yeah.
The Mercy says, at the Message version, a personal bodyguard to the candid and sincere. Imagine, God becomes our personal bodyguard. Wow. Verse 8. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. So there's a guard, there's a shield, there's a protector, somewhere or another. God comes along and begins to keep us safe. Verse 9. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go.
Yeah.
For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. And verse 11, wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Well, you want to dig into that scripture. Dig into that scripture. Read that scripture over and over again. So this wisdom and understanding comes directly from God. And it has to be spiritually discerned. And so we could finish here. We could say, wonderful, great. But the question needs to be asked, okay, but how do you get it? Whether you're watching at home, whether you're sitting, listening, how do you get this wisdom? Do you want that wisdom? Because I want it. I want more. I want that wisdom. Yeah. So how? Here's the how. James 1, 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should do what? Ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed back and forth by the wind. So simply, you need to ask God, and then you believe. So just, and before I even conclude, I want to pray with you right now. If you're here right now, you say, Lord, I want your wisdom. I want your understanding. I want, just pray with me right now. Lord, I open up my heart and I ask for your wisdom. Lord, you know my circumstances. You know the situation. You know what I'm praying. You know where I am. Lord, I ask you to give me your divine wisdom in the name of Jesus. And by faith, I receive it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So in conclusion, number one, let's get back to prayer in order to guard your heart and your mind. Mm-hmm. Number two, God's perfect will for your life has not changed even in the midst of a pandemic.
Yeah.
He has poured out his love into our hearts so that we can love God, love ourselves, love our neighbor, and walk in his perfect will. And finally, number three, if you lack godly spiritual wisdom, ask God and receive it by faith. But can I say to you, before you ask God, wouldn't it be good to know him first?
Yeah.
See, when it says by faith, how can you have faith in someone you don't know and someone you don't have a relationship? And I want to give you this opportunity today. If you're here and you say, I want this relationship with God. Oh, I want this wisdom from God. I want to get saved. I want his love to be poured into my heart that I can allow it to pour into others. Let me read a scripture that explains how and why. Romans 10, 9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be. Not can be, might be, you will be saved. And there's a reason, verse 10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So if that's you this morning, that's you today, tonight, whenever you're looking, wherever you are, if you want to just close your eyes at me and follow me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And that you were raised from the dead on the third day.
Please forgive me
and come into my life
to be my Lord and my
Savior.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you have prayed that for the very first time, we want to try and connect with you. You know, I did this as my birthday. So I'm celebrating with you. I really am. And, you know, I took it was a very important step. It was a massive step that I took 29 years ago. But the last 29 years has been a series of steps. So there's a lot more steps to allow you to receive everything that God has. And we want to help you take the next step. And if you just simply just go to our website, openarms.ie, connect. And there's a card. Just give us your details and we'll be in touch and help you take the next step on your journey. So now I want to pray for our congregation in Newbridge and our congregation in Dublin. Lord, I pray that we will be filled with the knowledge of your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Yes,
I pray that you will bring us back to ourselves.
Yes.
That, Lord, we will pray for us. We will pray for our people, our brothers and sisters, and our government. Father, I pray that we will have a fresh revelation of your love, that love that has the power and capacity to change this world that we live in.
Yes.
I pray that you would allow this love to flood me, to flood us, and then to flow out to others.
Yes, amen.
I pray, Lord, that you will indeed make us deep reservoirs or containers of your spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Yes, Lord.
That we will see this nation saved.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The nation of Ireland, mm-hmm. north, south, east, and west, mm-hmm. by the million. That we will see a multi-generation church raised in this nation, that you will transform it from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And I pray, Lord, that we will continue to be encouraged and to encourage others. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great day.